I'm going to be talking a bit about Jesus commissioning the church. And we began the play, and one of the things that happened this week was kids were so worried about their dance, and we have some very, very intricate routine dances. As a matter of fact, when they started that, I said, "You're going to try to do that with these kids?" I mean, they took things off of a professional website for the show that the professionals do in New York, and they tried to do it with our kids. And I'm sitting there, whoa, whoa. And so, but they did it. But the kids were so worried about the dance that they forgot to sing. Well, it's a musical. We sing. So I finally stopped them and I said, do you know what our purpose here is? Do you know what we should be doing? We should be singing as a musical. So therefore, I want to hear music. Dancing comes second. Other things come second. But music comes first, and the acting, that's first, okay? So we sort of had to square away what was first priority, and the other is the help or the encouragement or the facilitation of that. I believe that Christ gave you and I and the church a commissioning statement. It is the charge you have for doing the job. In essence, it is the job description. Definition of commission is an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or a group of people. In essence, the duty you are commissioned with is your very purpose for even being here. If you go away from that purpose, then you cease to exist under that commission. Now, I want to talk about that today because I think it's very important. As a matter of fact, I think it's where I must begin before I get to the sheets that you have in your hands. But, okay, so this is what I would like to do. I would like for us to think about a baker. I had heard this story, and it was making fun, but I thought it was interesting. A baker was commissioned to bake a cake, a wedding cake for a couple that they had designed. And so the baker began. But then he said, "You know, I think this couple really could have a great party if I added this and if I added that." And he continued to add things to to not only the cake, but the whole table that they were going to have, to the point that he actually was no longer the baker, he was the caterer. He was actually putting food on the table, which was not his call. And the couple got upset and said, "That's not what we ask you to do. You are to bake us a cake, not to do all this other stuff." He had gotten off the mark. He saw other things to do, but he didn't really understand that that was not his call. Jesus has called us with a commission, and the commission defines who we are. When we say we are Christians, then we are graded by our commission. So I want us to look at the commission statement, and it's in Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20. Now, Jesus was getting ready to go to be with the Father. He had been crucified. He was resurrected. He was walking with his disciples. And he said, "This one final thing I want to talk to you about." Now, if you had a father and he knew he was dying and you had the chance to go up and sit by him, and he says, "This is the most important thing I ever want to leave you with. This is the thing I want to leave you with." You would listen very intently, wouldn't you? I would. And I would say, "All right, good." And I would understand. If he knows he's leaving, this is the greatest thing. So here's what Jesus said is the greatest thing. "Go ye therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Go ye therefore and make disciples. Now, as such, I'd like for us to look at the church body and as individual Christians. Did Jesus say in the commission, go ye therefore and become good church members? Did he say, go ye therefore and have good worship services? Go ye therefore and have great music? Go ye therefore and have great prayer meetings? No, those are implied and very, very important to the structure and meeting the goal. But the goal, he said, go ye therefore and make disciples. So if we are making disciples, then we are a church of Jesus Christ. If we're not, we're not. Very, very basic. I don't care how great we do the sacraments and the ordinances. The point is we need to be making disciples. Now, when it says, go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the point is that the church, every aspect of it is to make disciples. And when I have some people I talk to, it is not, I need to make sure they understand, becoming a disciple is a lifelong journey. Nobody really makes it totally. There's nobody here who has totally become the disciple that God has planned for you to be. You're still in a process of learning. You're still in a process of growing. And I believe that even to the day you die, if you live to 115, God is still making you into the disciple he wants you. He's still discipling you. So all of us have a responsibility to be discipled. All of us. And not only that, we have a responsibility to disciple other people, because that's what we're called to do. It says, neither do people, in Matthew 5, 15 through 16, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In essence, give, let your life of testimony be open to people. John 15:8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then in Acts 13:47, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. In your survey that you filled out and you turned in, when we looked at everything, the majority of you understood, and I believe in the commission. Believe you, it's in your mind, it's in your heart. You understand and know that we are called to disciple the people. We are called to reach people for Jesus. You all expressed that. And as a matter of fact, that was the tops on almost everybody's list. This is good. This says you understand it correctly. Why we plan what we plan and put together what we put together and what the effort and the money and the ministry is all about. But here's the key. Desiring it in our hearts does not meet the commission. Telling others to do it for us does not meet the commission. Hiring others to do the work is not the commission. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man holding his natural face in a mirror, for he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightforward forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, I've used this illustration before, and I used it with my kids, and I've even said it recently. This particular scripture is saying that when you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you see the terrible disaster that's happened overnight, you use the mirror to do something about it, because the mirror is not going to lie to you. It's going to say you need to do something with that hair. So you go and you pick up the brush and you do something. But someone who does not looks in the mirror and continues on their way, they do not realize that the mirror is intended not just to show us how good looking we are, but where we need to improve on. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not just hearers only. So, go ye therefore and make disciples at the beginning of Jesus' statement is sometimes translated, all of you as you are going, make disciples. So Cedar Fork, this is your commission. Christians, those who call themselves Christians, yours is this commission. We are to go daily into places wherever we travel, ready to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit to make disciples. How will you know a Christian? Yes, the scripture says you will know them by their love. But I believe love is an expression. It's not just people say, if my child says, if I look at my child all day long and say, I love you, but I never show it, I never express it, I never do anything for my child, then that love is fake and fraud, and they know that. If we say we love God and each other, but we do not reach out to extend our mercy and our grace to them, if we do not try to reach out with the love of Christ to them, then it's just words coming out of our mouths. So being a Christian is one who is in constant touch with the Lord, seeking to make others as they come in contact with them in touch with the Lord. The New Testament Gospels are good news. The world needs that good news. By the way, it's not, you know, when we say the word gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels are not just good news for us as Christians. It's intended to be good news for the entire world. The drug addict, it's good news. The prostitute, it's good news. The thief, it's good news. The atheist, it's good news. The agnostic, it's good news. The teacher at school and the businessman that you see every day, it's good news. Because it's God's news. It's God's good news for mankind. A church that is on commission is a true church of Jesus Christ and is constantly proclaiming the gospel message and discipling those to witness for Jesus. They are not timid about their witness, but bold. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because of its power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And that's the key. And so many people look at me and go, you know, I don't know that I can say the right thing or do the right thing. I just question whether it has nothing to do with you. That's what's exciting. It has to do with God. The Holy Spirit, first, is at work in you. And number two, the Word of God will not go out and come back void. The Word of God will transform everyone it touches. And the Word of God has power. And even to the point that those who are against the Word of God or distrust the Word of God, it will be impactful to them. Now, of your surveys, I have come up with the following plan for discipleship in this church, and here's five points I want to make. First, there's four ministries. You've got them in your hand. They are discipleship teams we are going to create and you're going to create. Number two, second, we need to be trained as disciples so that we disciple better and more effectively. Third, we need to study to be better witnesses. Thursday evening, in the months of May, June, and July, we'll be confronting the arguments and the biblical answers to touch the questions that face our witness today. By the way, what I'm saying is, you cannot... When I was a teenager in the 60s, we got what you called the four spiritual laws. And they were in the little booklet that you got, and you used those. Those are no longer applicable. You say, what? Yeah, they are. No, the truths are applicable, but how you present them is different today. because there's a different day. We have a different skepticism today. The people that you will contact and talk with today are much different people than we were. And in this area, they're much more different than any area that I've ever been in. So you have to have certain applied truths and how to apply them to situations. And I'm going to talk about that. Some of the most emphatic we're going to begin with in May. Why is the Bible the book of God? What makes it the book of God? What about all those errors in the Bible? Can it be trusted? The Bible does not relate to us today. These are some of the things that you're going to hear if you talk to people. You're going to hear these things. How do you answer them? There are easy answers, and they're not. You don't have to learn long jargon or become philosophically attuned to do that. But there are some answers that we have. On Sundays, we will have some similar training during worship on key subjects from the Word of God. And then fifth, we will hold a crusade and revival in the fall to reach as many people for Jesus as possible. It is a revival as well, which means we are trying to work towards preparing ourselves to be greater discipled. I'm going to ask every member of this congregation and to those who are with us today, if you're an active member of this church, whether you've joined or not, and would like to be a part of a discipleship team, I want you to, these are ministry teams, work teams. If you'd like to work, we would love for you to work. The first one is an evangelistic revival team. Now, I want to take just a few moments to look at these teams and talk about them and then see whether or not that's something you would like to work with or work on. This team will plan, promote, raise funds for, and do the work of evangelist in preparation, the follow-through and the follow-up of a fall crusade and revival. Qualifications for this team: a heart for reaching the lost for Christ, a desire for spiritual renewal in our church, and a willingness to do what you can to see Christ work in our church. Become a prayer partner for the crusade and revival. I think probably over half more of you qualify for that. So qualifications, you meet that. Go ahead and join that one. Number two. Outreach bus ministry team. This team will actively work to plan and implement a more aggressive ministry of outreach through personal contact to visitors, to children through our bus ministry, and ways to alert the community to what Cedar Fork is doing in ministry, which means promote. Number three, welcoming, greeting, and safety teams. Now, this particular group is involved mainly at worship on Sunday mornings. This team will plan to have the best face for visitors when they come to our church. This team will not only plan how we can better greet and assist visitors to Cedar Fork, but also become a work team to each Sunday help with a welcoming greeting and safety of our church. We're going to do things like have badges that you wear just to let you look official, especially with the bus ministry, so that parents are at ease with that. The safety aspect of the church will be to make sure that we have procedures for unfortunate events that might occur in our facility and the education of the congregation to these procedures. One of the things that I think you need to understand is there are some people that do not come to church since there have been some church shootings because they're afraid of that. They don't want to go where there's large groups of people. Now, I say that to say if there's a procedure and if they know there's a procedure, at least as far as what do you do if there's some kind of problem in the church? And we do have procedures and we do know what to do. And we do have ways of checking the grounds, and just one of the things we would have is somebody who just walks around the grounds and just is a checker. And I think if they know that, they'll be more comfortable in our church. So that's the safety team. It's we're not saying we're going to get AK-47s and stand at the door. That's not what we're saying, okay? We're just saying we're going to. And there's more to that than that. If someone has a heart attack, what do? We don't really have plans in place for that. If somebody gets sick, and we ought to have a plan for that. So different ways of showing our plans for safety. Then the fourth one is mentoring, discipleship, and new members encouragement team. This team will make serious the call of our Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples. At Cedar Fork, we must help our members as well as new members to grow in Christ. The mentoring team will also come along with new members and visitors to encourage them in spiritual growth, church attendance, and discipleship process. And what I'm talking about is this. Some go, what are you talking about? And we just need to know who our team is. Everybody would sit here and say, well, we're already doing that. Yes, but when we take it for granted that we're already doing it, we sometimes don't do it. For instance, we have several that are out this morning. Do you know where they are? It's good that we have some kind of system to where we have mentors who know when people are absent, whether they're sick or they're just out of town. Sometimes you won't know because you haven't been in contact that week. But the whole point is that we will know what's going on in people's lives so that we can pray for them, so that we can encourage them. If they're having a tremendous difficulty or concern, we can. If there's something we need to help them with, we can help them with. So this is the point in that particular team. Mentoring is very important in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I feel like we need to do a better job of that. As far as training, what we would do is basically have a couple of two or three meetings and just talk about how you mentor. What do you do? What do you say to people? How do you keep from being a busybody on the one hand, but yet staying in touch with them so that you can encourage them? Some churches say they encourage you, and we're going to talk about different methods, but one is that you call them on a Monday morning and just have prayer with them over the phone and say, is there anything I can do with you or do for you? Anything that you need? How are things going? This constant contact once a week would help a great deal. So if you would like to be a part of that, please sign that. Now, if you feel like, well, I want to go home and pray about this and I want to think about this, you can do that. You can take it home. But I'll have some more sheets next week, and I'll have them on the back table when you come in next week, and in case you've left yours at home. But if you can do it today at the end of the service, I'm going to ask that, Luke, would you take one of these plates and put it at the back here, and Don, if you'd put one as you leave, there'll be a plate. If you have it, just make sure your name's on it and your telephone number. That's just to get in contact with you and say, we're going to have our team meeting or a team get together on this particular day at this time. I believe this is what Christ wants us to do. This is what you said we should do. So this is just the follow-through of what you have already made mention that you believe is important in your survey. I call on you as the body of Christ to take your beliefs and make them your faith as we stand solid on the things that will make us Christ Church and great as a great commissioned church. I see it as the beginning of some great things here. I hope you do. Let's begin praying. Father, I just pray and ask for each one that's here that you would reveal how they can be an asset to this church and this community and the kingdom of God here. And I pray and ask that we might follow through. We might do the things that we sign up for and that we might become strong in it. We might see the next few months as a great time of training and teaching, and that all of us might grow in knowledge and wisdom. Now bless us and use us and make us your church, your people, who not only care about you, but care about each other and care about the lost even more than we have. And Lord, bless us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.